In this word, O God, show us heaven. By your Spirit, show us truth. Through Christ, the living word, in whom we see your face. And help us never to use our reason against your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are two key words in this gospel lesson that almost every commentary will talk about that often drive how we think readers are supposed to understand Jesus' parable. Those words are keep awake. These same words tie this parable and this story in Matthew's gospel to the last two parts of chapter 24, both of which describe the need for an alert watchfulness or watching. It's actually kind of a theme for Advent, so in a few weeks we'll likely revisit this. But verse 42, keep awake therefore, for you do not know on what day or hour your Lord is coming. Again in verse 44, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Verse 50, the master will come on a day when the servant or the slave does not know to expect him, and at an hour he does not know. Verse 13 of today's passage, keep awake therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Thus, the refrain in a song often sung during Advent especially, stay awake, be ready, you do not know what the hour your Lord is coming, but stay awake, be ready, the Lord is coming soon. The theological and biblical context for these stories and sayings is undoubtedly the parousia, a Greek term for the end times, the end of the age. The time associated with the return of Jesus, in which he reappears and installs the long-promised kingdom of God. Not the first coming, but the second coming. And the urgent message here is about Jesus sneaking up on us and our missing it. Our missing it. The biblical point is that Jesus is coming. And if we aren't urgently watchful, he will suddenly be here and we will blow it. He'll be here and gone. We'll miss him like the bridesmaids. The emphasis in this story and the previous stories, therefore, keep awake. Don't fall asleep. It'd be a good commercial for those energy drinks and so on and so forth. But there's a difference in keeping awake and being ready, and often we confuse the two. If Jesus comes to your house, this story indicates he is probably much more interested in your running out to greet him in the driveway rather than wasting your time vacuuming the living room before you open the door. Right? Jesus is here, go greet him. Don't wait for everything to be perfect. What it means to be keeping awake and to be watching for also seems to require the right response. When we recognize Jesus is among us, we need to respond. Our right ordered priorities will guide us. If you're awake and watching, you'll have a good response. This theme is set by this pattern of keep awake, and we must carry it with us when we come to the parable that seems to offer us something else. Here, Jesus' parable begins, as they often do, with the kingdom of heaven will be like this. But I think Jesus has a little intended misdirection in mind. We think that the goal must be met when the bridesmaids get into the wedding banquet because they carried more oil with them. The goal gets met when they get in. The wise are successful. Therefore, make sure you too have enough oil. But if we read the story this way, it sounds more like the kingdom of heaven will be like half the bridesmaids getting into the wedding banquet because they brought extra oil. That is, the kingdom of heaven is like a 50-50 proposition. Some make it, some don't. Make sure you try and make it. And when we accept this reading, we reach for those details that seem to make the difference. The extra flasks of oil. Therefore, we call those bridesmaids wise. But here's what really happens. The supply of oil doesn't really affect the outcome. Or at least we don't know that for sure. What we do know is that none of the bridesmaids managed to keep awake. Those named wise as well as those named foolish, all of them become drowsy. All of them fall asleep when the groom is delayed. It's 100% failure if that's the theme. Keep awake, they fall asleep. Extra oil or not, they're all sleeping. And the overriding theme is supposed to be keep awake. So when the groom arrives suddenly at midnight to begin the procession, none of them are awake whether they brought their oil or not. This is not supposed to be how it happens. Matthew tells us that all the bridesmaids trim their lamps. It means there are 10 maids, there are 10 lamps. All of them are on and glowing when the groom suddenly appears. And maybe the lamps had already been burning all night to that point, likely, while all of them were sleeping and none of them were being watchful. So the oil is being burned up as they are asleep and unready. And maybe the bridesmaids without the flasks of extra oil are right to presume that their lamps will become exhausted before they get the bridegroom and bride to the wedding. And maybe asking those bridesmaids named wise would have indeed threatened their supply of oil so that none of the lamps would have stayed lit during the procession. But it's how the bridesmaids named wise interact and respond to the bridesmaids named foolish that is both worrisome and telling. In fact, it's at this very point that I believe the kingdom of God appears. And no one has the right response. We've all been taught, probably for most of our lives, that those who would be wise are people who are ready and prepared. Thus, the bridesmaids in this case, who think ahead and bring the extra flasks of oil, appear to have solved the problem. Bring enough, be prepared so you can manage to do the task. Be prepared, after all, is the Boy Scout motto. And Boy Scouts learn it, and the rest of us do too. And who wants to argue with a good Boy Scout anyway? But being prepared is often motivated by fear of some sort. In this story, the bridesmaids are afraid there won't be enough oil to last for the whole procession. Not to mention the fact that oil is valuable. It is a scarce resource, particularly in poorer communities. Believing that oil is scarce, the bridesmaids who get named wise choose to combat that scarcity by being prepared for it. It seems wise. But when we believe in scarcity, we know that we have to be prepared. We know we'll have to rely on ourselves and our ingenuity. We'll at least have to keep some of our resources back and hold on to them, saving them for a rainy day emergency, right? That's what it means to be wise and prepared. But maybe for people of faith, this should work out another way. Because the kingdom that Jesus teaches to us tells us that we're supposed to rely on God, to trust God, to see that God always provides one way or another, to see when we have enough, to also see when we may not have enough, to trust that God will make up for it. So at least another possibility might be that this whole business with the extra flasks of oil doesn't have to be so damning as we think it is. If the bridesmaids choose to work together, it's possible that there's still enough oil and for all to last. And unlike oil itself, a lit lamp is always a shared resource, because it's going to give its light off whether you want it to or not. You can't exactly hide it in the darkness. That even that tiny light is going to show forth. If the bridesmaids were committed to working together, there's probably a way that some lamps stay lit and all the bridesmaids can share them together. But that's not what happens here. The bridesmaids, who are named wise, choose for themselves. They refuse to share when they could have. They get into the wedding on their own, maybe their own merit, and the bridesmaids, named foolish, get left out in the cold. Furthermore, we believe this happens when the bridesmaids, named foolish, stop watching expectantly and actually go and try to get more oil. By tending to their plight, the bridesmaids, named foolish, end up not keeping awake. And when the groom comes, the kingdom of God, as it were, it sneaks up on them and off the rest go. By looking to their plight, they're outside the moment. But in the same way, I think, the bridesmaids, named wise, are also caught out by looking only to the assurance of their own reward. Not only do they fall asleep when the groom was delayed, but they hold on to their extra flasks of oil and imperil the fate of the other bridesmaids, named foolish. And we might notice the appearance of the kingdom of God sneaks up on you. I think that's the case here. Because when we see someone else imperiled and our response is simply to hold on to our resources for ourselves, to not help, to not be the fulfillment of the law that Jesus teaches us, where we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Surely a valid measuring stick of the presence of the kingdom of God is how well we are loving others as ourselves. And while those bridesmaids, named wise, appear to be rewarded for their preparedness and having the extra flasks of oil that allow them to get into the wedding, they appear to have missed the surprising appearance of the kingdom of God when their love shown toward others would have brought it into being right there. An opportunity to share or to give or to help so that everyone benefits. Keep awake was the mandate. It seems to me everyone missed it. If the bridesmaids, named wise, had recognized it, been looking for it, perhaps the parable ends differently. The moral of the story being, in fact, as we began, keep awake, watch for the moment, and by all means, don't let Jesus find you being selfish or stingy or not loving your neighbor as yourself when he suddenly appears. It's when we transition our expectation from getting into the wedding to being the kingdom of God on earth that we realize where our values can lead us. I believe the parable falsely tempts us to see the success of the bridesmaids who are named wise in getting into the wedding that's brought about by holding back their oil, by relying on their own ingenuity and taking care of their own interests. But we know that the kingdom of God is marked by other values, loving our neighbor as ourselves, trusting God, living in a sense of abundance where faith can squash fear. The bridesmaids, named wise, had an opportunity to make the kingdom of God become alive for everyone. But they missed it. Jesus' warning to us isn't about being wise or prepared. Rather, it is to first keep awake. And when you see opportunities to help bring the kingdom into being, to take advantage of those moments so that the kingdom of God is seen and heard, not just by us, but by others. If we're keeping awake, if we're watching as Jesus calls us to, we will see opportunities that make the kingdom of God come alive for us and then for others. And then we react to it and other people see it. Helping neighbors in need, seeing opportunities to give, to make a difference in someone else's lives, sharing our resources so that others can have decency and dignity. But the key is not going to be how much we have or how much we have saved. The key is keeping awake and watching for the right moment and springing into action when we recognize it. Because, and this is Jesus' point, right? The kingdom of heaven sneaks up on you. We often think it will come with loud announcements and we'll see it for sure. But Jesus says the kingdom sneaks up on you. And if you don't have the right response, if you don't see it, you miss it. I think he also says there are lots of chances. We may not always see it. We may sometimes miss it. But other places we will get it. And getting it more often than not by staying awake is the name of the game. So don't give up. Keep awake. Maintain justice and do what is right. For God, our Savior, is coming soon. Amen.